Can the federal government force your employer to force you to inject something into your body or else lose your job? Hi, I'm Stuart Shepard, and this is First Liberty Live. Have you downloaded the First Liberty Live app yet? It is a great way to keep up with these episodes. It's free. It's a download. You can put it on your iPhone or Droid phone, either one. We've got versions for both. It is our gift to you, and it makes an easy way to keep track of this. You can also, if you want to, listen to the episodes as a podcast on there, which is really cool if you're in your car. Our attorney, Leah Patterson, is on the road, but we did not want to have to wait in order to have this conversation, so she's joining us from Washington, D.C. Hi, Leah.
Hi, Stuart. Good to be with you.
It's good to see you, too. Let's start with what just happened. We're going to talk about the Biden administration's vaccine mandate for employers. What did the court do? Let's start there.
Sure. So right after this mandate got issued, tons of employers, including clients of ours, sued in the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, as well as many other courts. But the Fifth Circuit issued a temporary stay that will basically suspend the operation of the mandate until the court adjudicates the case itself. So that is a nationwide stay, and it prevents the mandate from going into effect.
Okay. So it does impact the whole country, even though it's only coming out of one of the appeals courts, right?
That's correct.
All right. So the stay is only temporary while they look at it. So let's talk about what the mandate is all about. What is it that the administration wants employers to do?
All right, so the mandate does a lot of things. This is coming from the Occupational Health and Safety and Health Administration, so that's OSHA. They regulate all sorts of workplace hazards, so they only have jurisdiction to regulate employers. And basically what the administration is trying to do is use OSHA's authority as a way of implementing a mandate through a back door by making employers, basically they're drafting employers to be their enforcement against the employees who aren't vaccinated. So,
yeah, go ahead.
I can go into some of the specifics of what the requirements this emergency temporary standard does.
Yeah, please do.
So basically, it requires a couple of things. So it requires employers to create procedures and policies to require their employees to be vaccinated. And the emergency standard does have an alternative, so employers can require unvaccinated employees to be, well, basically, if the employer does not require vaccination, it has to require employees to be tested weekly and wear masks. And so that's the basic mandates that are in effect. So the employers have to come up with all sorts of reporting procedures to verify vaccination status, verify testing status, and it's going to go into, I think basically OSHA is going to start enforcing it in January, depending on how the court process plays out.
And to be clear, we are not saying whether someone should get the vaccine. That's a personal decision. People have opinions on both sides, very strong opinions. You've heard them. And we're not medical experts. That's not what we do. But there is an important legal issue here at play, and that's why we're involved in this, Leah. Tell us what the legal issue is.
So there are a ton of legal issues. Basically, this is pretty much an unprecedented action by OSHA to make this kind of sweeping mandate. There are constitutional concerns of many kinds that it violates the proper balance of power and authority between the branches of government, between the federal government and the state government, and between Congress and the executive branch, the president, essentially. And so those are some of the constitutional issues. There are also religious liberty issues going on here. So I can talk about the three clients that we represent. We represent Daystar Television Network, the American Family Association, and Answers in Genesis, which runs the Ark Encounter. So these are all religious organizations, religious employees with religious beliefs of their own. And one of their primary objections to this mandate is that they have the religious belief that they cannot force their employees to be basically put to a test of conscience on a theologically disputable matter. So what that means is that just by the very act of forcing their employees to come and tell them whether they're vaccinated or not, whether they object to the vaccination or not on a number of grounds, it creates this conscience testing atmosphere that they can't in good conscience impose upon their employees. So the arguments that we're bringing in court have to do with the rights of those religious employers to their own religious beliefs and to respect the religious beliefs of their employees on this theologically disputable matter.
Everybody's got an opinion about this, and I can imagine a situation where one of these employers would have an opinion about whether you should be vaccinated or not, and they may even, the faith group that they're connected with may have an opinion about that, but an individual employee may, on their own, come up with a very different thought about it. They may say, there's just no way I can participate in this, and that's why this is such an issue for these employers, right?
Right, exactly, and it's part of this much bigger picture where the cases are so many cases of organizations and employers from all over the country in all sorts of different industries challenging this mandate, and our clients are approaching it from their religious beliefs and that they have to adhere to, and we're working to defend those in court.
Yeah, I just was listening to Al Mohler on his commentary yesterday, and he mentioned how one of the groups, Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, with another legal organization, is filing suit on this, and there are a bunch more. We are part of a large wave that's pushing back.
Yes, we are, and we're hopeful of what that means, because there's so much pushback. And so many, I think the way Fifth Circuit described when they instituted the stay of the order is the Fifth Circuit said that there were grave constitutional concerns with this order. And, you know, basically, just to give an example, the federal government cannot issue an order that all private citizens have to be vaccinated. That's outside the scope of the federal authority. That's what they're trying to do, though, by telling employers they have to mandate that their employees be vaccinated. It's basically drafting employers into an arm of the federal government in a way that we've never seen before. So it'll be kind of crazy as it plays out in court. We're dealing with a lot of unprecedented legal issues and questions.
When we think about OSHA, we think about ladder safety, we think about hard hats and that sort of thing. All of those are external to our body. I mean, they are all things that, you know, that you must wear a hard hat. Well, that's for a safety reason, but it's external. It's something that you put on the outside. What really makes this different is it's about putting something inside your body, and that is a huge bridge to cross for the federal government.
It really is. And, you know, OSHA has dealt with certain kinds of diseases like bloodborne pathogens before and have given basically requirements that employers encourage their employees to be vaccinated and make it easier for them to get vaccinated. But it's never required them to make their employees be vaccinated. And, you know, one of the other concerns here is that, you know, a lot of employees could just quit rather than comply with these onerous mandates. And so our clients and organizations across the country are wondering whether they're going to have workers showing up anymore because of OSHA's regulations.
Yeah. What happens next in the case? We've got to stay while the court takes a look at it, but then what happens?
Well, it's quite a lot happens. So what's happening right now in the Fifth Circuit is that there's briefing going on about whether there should be a permanent stay of the standard. Now, to give some context for this, the standard that we're talking about right now is a temporary emergency standard that will be in effect for 6 months. At the end of that 6 months, OSHA is going to have to make it a permanent rule. And in order to do that, OSHA has to go through a notice and comment process. So basically what that means is that they have to provide notice to the public, which is what this emergency standard is, right, that they're planning to adopt these standards permanently. And then the public has an opportunity to comment and provide information about how that standard is going to impact them. So that's one of the regulatory processes that's going to work out right now. In the courts, we have cases filed in very many circuits across the country. So what's going to happen is all of those cases are going to be consolidated down into one in one court, and it'll have to be adjudicated again.
Okay. So there are a lot of cases and a lot of courts, but eventually at some point the courts will say they're all going to be heard by this one circuit, and that's going to be a lot of work for that particular court, right? I mean, that's a lot of people bringing them documentation, filings, et cetera.
Very much so. Very much so. So it's a beast of a case.
What's your encouragement to faith-based employers in the meantime? What should they be doing right now?
Absolutely. So what faith-based employers should be doing right now is really make sure you understand what you believe as an employer about this mandate. And once you, this is new for everybody, so we're having to understand how the mandate impacts all of our religious beliefs. So just understand what you believe, and then you stand by it. There are a lot of challenges going on, so just hold on, see what happens in the courts, and hopefully this won't ever be implemented, but we'll see what happens. Now, another thing that people can do, especially whether they're employers or employees...
Yeah, let's keep talking about employees. Go ahead.
Sure. So you can submit comments to OSHA on this standard, and you can go to federalregister.gov to do that. And they're required to look at these comments and consider them when they're making the permanent standard. So, send information about how it's going to impact your business. Send information about, how your employees are resistant to doing this, or how it's financially not feasible, or other steps you can take to protect your employees. And all of that information is going to be helpful in trying to prevent this mandate from becoming a permanent standard as a matter of the regulatory process. Now, another thing that employees can do is this mandate cannot repeal the legal protections for people who religiously object to taking the vaccine. So what that means is that you can still request a religious accommodation from your employer, and we have our kit online of how to do that. And so you can still submit those exemption requests.
Yeah, and we'll share directions on how to find that download in just a moment. One thing I think people, because we've been hearing commentary from folks, I get email all the time from people asking about this, is when an accommodation, even if you're granted an accommodation, both sides have to give something. So the employer is saying, okay, you're not getting the vaccine, but because of that, they may change your position, they may change your assignments, that kind of thing, right? So it's not just a hold on the employer. It also does have an impact on the employee, and that's important, I think, for people to understand.
It does. It does impact the employee, because especially with this particular mandate, the OSHA regs are going to require an unvaccinated employee who receives an exemption to be tested weekly and to mask, and the employers may not bear the cost of those tests, and it could be expensive for the employee, and then you may be the only one walking around with a mask, so it's kind of obvious. It's a difficult situation for everyone.
But we want to be straightforward and honest so people have a realistic expectation of what that means should you apply for a religious accommodation. Leah, anything else you'd like to share before we let you go?
I would just say, follow us to find more information about this case, and hold fast to what you believe. There's a lot of hope to see this just drastic overreach by the administration challenge.
Very good. Leah Patterson, our attorney, thank you for visiting with us, even though you're on the road. Lots of helpful information in there. I really appreciate the work you're doing on this.
My pleasure, Stuart. Thank you.
Right. And if you would like to get that vaccine protection kit that she mentioned and that we were talking about, you can go to firstliberty.org, and there's a section on the homepage that says Vaccine Mandate Help. There are three buttons there for three different ways to look at it. One of those will take you to the downloadable. It's like a little booklet, but you can download it to your computer. You can read it on the screen or print it out. You can read it on your phone as well. Lots of helpful information as far as applying for a religious accommodation with your employer, that sort of thing. And we want to provide that to you. That's free. We don't charge for that. It's just our help to you. We will see you next time right here on First Liberty Live.